Welcome to New Horizon Baptist Church. We are delighted and excited to have your presence with us. And we want to thank God once again who has allowed us to experience the close of another year. Truly, God has been wonderful. He has blessed all of us in spite of what we have experienced and even what is going on right now. We still must recognize the awesomeness of God. With that in mind, before we even get into the word, let us have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for allowing us to travel the distance through this year and bring us down to this appointed place and time. So much has happened this year, but nothing has happened that you are not aware of. We say thank you for life, health, and strength, and things as being as well as they are even right now, even in the midst of this pandemic. We still owe you praise, glory, and honor, simply because you have looked beyond all of our faults and blessed us with our needs. And we say thank you. We pray now that as we prepare to get into your word, that you will remove all stumbling blocks, all hindrances, clear our minds that we can receive a word from you, and most of all, strengthen us in such a way that if you allow us to be able to cross over into the new year, that we will find strength and guidance in a way that you will be pleased with who we are. Forgive us now for any wrong, any sins that we have committed, and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a word that I want to share with you that I think summarizes that which is unique, something that we must all be mindful of. And it is one passage of scripture recorded in the gospel. Is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Very short text, but a very powerful text, a message that I think all of us, if we will be obedient to what this text teaches, we will find ourselves that if God allows us to cross over into the new year, that things will go according to God's will, God's plan, and not ours. Reading from the New King James Version of the Bible in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the scripture simply says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." I want to take a moment and deal with the thought, first things first. First things first. Taking a look at the setting of our text, it is important that we recognize that Matthew chapter 6 simply is a continuation of Jesus' teachings regarding the Sermon on the Mount. Here in Matthew chapter 6, what Jesus does is that he's talking to us about the concept of true righteousness, and that true righteousness is being presented in a way that it is to be practiced in the lives of those of us who are born again. And what Jesus does is that he lays out a unique description of what this kind of life regarding the righteousness that he's been focusing on is to be dealt with. In other words, Jesus wants us to be able to live out the righteousness, not just our way, but live out this act of righteousness in the kingdom. And I want you to keep in mind that we're talking about his kingdom. Now, the way he lays it out in this chapter is that Jesus focuses on two major areas. First, he talked of the opening of this chapter as it relates to the believer and believer's worship. And he does this by laying out the teaching in very simplistic ways. He's talking about the idea of alms, and he focuses on three major areas. One is the area of giving, the other one is the area of praying, and the other one is the area of fasting. Now, I want you to keep in mind now, if that is the case when it comes to worship, the second portion is that he focuses on the believer as it relates to the believer's wealth, the individual's wealth. So we got two important things on the table. We got the idea of the believer's worship, And we got the concept of the believer's wealth. Now, when he talks about wealth, he is saying in essence is that he wants us to understand what kind of relationship a Christian should have when it comes to one's wealth, the possession of things. And that means that he wants us to live a certain way as he focuses on obtaining wealth and how we go about doing it. So Jesus is saying, and this is the essence of what Jesus teaches in this chapter, that he does not want us to worry. And this is something that many of us in this year, 2021, has no doubt found ourselves doing. We were not just worried necessarily about things, but just the idea of worry itself. We worry about our relation to the pandemic and how careful we were. So what Jesus lays out in this chapter is that he says in essence to every born-again believer, I do not want you to worry about what you're going to eat. I don't want you to worry about what you're going to drink, nor do I want you to worry about what you're going to put on. And he does this because what he wants us to grasp is Christians have no business worrying about things of that nature, because Jesus plainly teaches us that if he takes care of the birds of the air, so just as God feeds the birds and clothes the lilies, he wants us to understand he's going to take care of us the same way. So what we must understand is to worry is dangerous. To worry about material things is to love like the heathens. And so much has happened in this year. So many people have lost jobs and lost loved ones and found themselves in tight situations and often fell apart, lost it all. But no matter what caused us to get in the rut that we're in, doesn't change what Scripture teaches. And Jesus here in this chapter does not want us as believers to find ourselves in a state of worry. So our text is born out of this setting. So here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus is teaching us to refrain from the idea of pursuing material things. In other words, it's not so much that he's saying it's a sin to go after these things. He does not want things to become our primary goal. That's what's important. He does not want stuff and things to become our primary goal. So based on that, that's how he arrives at what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And I want you to listen once again to what he says. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, before we even dive into the text, before we even take the time to pull it apart, I need you to understand that there are two important things or points that we must be very, very clear on or knowledgeable of before we can properly address the text. That's what's important to me, because it is so easy to read into the text what's not there. And we got to be very careful so we can get exactly what Jesus is teaching from the text. So in order to do that, I need to address two major things. The very first one is that we must address what this verse does not teach. Okay? Let's look at it from the negative standpoint of what it does not teach. This verse is not teaching us the idea that it's wrong to go after things or possess things. That is not what this verse is teaching. So we don't have to roll up our sleeves and feel like we have fallen short, because we must know those three primary areas. And one of those is what we wear and what we eat, a sense of employment, okay? So we don't want to go there with those, because that's not what this text is actually teaching. Based on that, I need you to understand then that God desires to bless us, but we must meet his conditions for receiving blessings. Now, that's the thing I need to sink into our spirit. Because if you walk away thinking that God does not want me to do this, God does not want me, no. We must make sure and certain that we line ourselves up with those conditions, because God desires to bless us. In other words, we do not have to spend our entire time based on a spiritual pursuit. In other words, it's not all about going 100% spiritually. I'm not teaching about a balance, but what I need you to understand, he knows what our obligations are, okay? But you can't lose sight of the fact that he desires to bless you. Where we fall short, we don't want the Lord to bless us based on conditions. We want the blessings without the conditions. So it is extremely important that we recognize what the verse does not teach. It does not teach that the Lord is saying there's a sin to have things. I want you to understand it is all right to be blessed as long as you have things and things don't have you. Okay? Then there's a second thing you must keep in mind. Secondly, we must address, if we've talked about what the text does not teach, then now let's get clear on what the verse does teach. This verse teaches us that if you are going to be consumed with anything, Jesus is saying, be consumed with the kingdom. Let me say that again. If we are going to become consumed with something, it ought to be the kingdom and not things. In other words, we should establish priorities of life. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But many times as Christians, where we have messed up this year is because we lack priorities. We don't understand how to make sure God is pleased with who we are. So in the text, Jesus simply says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Well, in order to make sure that our priorities are where they are, in order that we might address what this text is actually teaching us, then what do I need to do? What is the necessary thing that for me as a believer to get my priorities straight? And I think this year, Satan has done a super job in getting us confused with proper priorities. And we've lost sight of what it really takes for us to maintain the proper relationship with Jesus. So in looking at the text, I don't want to deal with it just in the manner in which it is written. Okay? So allow me to kind of jump around, but we're going to talk about what it actually takes. Because I think, first of all, if we get our priorities straight, everything else will fall in place. I can assure you that. But because we fail to properly prioritize, we lose sight of what it is and what it takes to get right with God. Notice in the text, the very first thing that stands out is the word seek. And here, Jesus says to us what to do. He uses the word seek. The word seek is literally a verb. But what's more important is that it is not just a verb. It is in the imperative mode. It is a thing that must be done simply because it is being commanded of us that we must seek. So when Jesus says seek, let's talk now about what the word seek literally means. Well, seek has a number of meanings. First, it means to go after. It means to strive. It means to pursue. It means to desire. It means to aim at. It means to search. So when you put all of that together, when Jesus says seek, it means in essence to hunt eagerly. And this is what we must do as believers. We must be seekers. It's almost in connection with the woman dealing with that of the lost coin, recorded in Luke chapter 15, verse 7. I want you to hear what the text says. It says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The idea here is that this woman, and the text makes it very clear, it says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? That's the kind of seeking we as believers must focus on in going into the new year. We can't be lazy. Well, we got to be aggressive. We got to be determined. And I want you to notice now, the woman with the lost coin, the reason she was able to have such a desire is because when you know what you've had and lost it, you shouldn't have a problem in seeking for it. See, so, but you got to come to grips with what you lost. And this year, some of us as believers have lost some things. And we can't afford to go over into the new year with an attitude that is lost, so forget it. So one is to eagerly hunt. And you cannot be pretty. You can't be cute. You can't do it nice. If you're going to seek for that which you know you lost, you got to have a determined mind to go after that thing. So Jesus in the text tells us what to do. He says, seek. And I want to ask the question. I want to invite us as we approach the close of this year. You got to be a seeker. And sometimes Satan, and we spend too much time talking about Satan did this and I lost my joy. If you know you lost your joy, tonight is a good time to say to yourself, I'm going after that which was lost. Okay? But you got to be a seeker. Then there's a second thing that Jesus lays out in the text. He not only tells us what to do, but he also tells us when to do it. Now, this is important now, and you can't lose sight of the connection. When to do it is found in the text, and that is first. Okay? That word first is the most important word in the text. Now, why would I say that? It's you would think it's seek, but you can seek and be too late. See, that's not you. See, when you seek late, you don't gain. You got to be able to do exactly what he says first. That ought to be your ultimate. In other words, the thing his followers are to do is in the text. He says, seek first. Make this the most important element, the most important objective in your life. It makes no sense to go over into the new year dragging mess you lost. If you don't do nothing else, get your attitude in check and say, I'm going to go after that which the enemy has stolen. I want you to listen to this. We are to get our priorities straight. I found out that the reason some people can wallow in the mess year after year, they don't know how to seek and they don't know how to prioritize. Because if you're a real seeker, you put it first. I teach about this all the time. You shouldn't come into church having wait on no choir, waiting on no preacher, waiting on no teacher to pump you up. You ought to enter into the presence of God with the attitude, I am a seeker, and I'm not going to let nothing stop me simply because I have properly prioritized. Let's talk for a moment about priorities, because I think once we can do that, we can better understand what's going on. Priorities are the things that are really important to us in our lives. The most important thing, however, is that there are some personal priorities that we as Christians stop comparing yourself to somebody else. Because, see, I found out that everybody is on different levels. And sometimes what you see folk and the way they are doing, you will think, well, all is well. No, sometimes people have to hold back the tears in order to hold their priorities in place. I hope you understand that now. If you keep your priorities in place, you can handle some things. And those are things, and what I'm saying is, some of us get more bent out of shape over stupid stuff. But if you really prioritize, stop letting Satan steal your joy, steal your enthusiasm, your excitement, your commitment, your determination. He will steal your vision. If you sit there, you gotta put it in his proper perspective. If each believer had God as their first priority, think about it now. That means that when you enter the Lord's house, even if you burden down, God ought to be your number one priority. Satan might have beat you up all week long, but your number one priority. Anybody can give God praise when all your bills paid. Everything is in place. You're not sick. You haven't lost a loved one. You got your job, money in the bank. You ain't doing God no favor. But it takes somebody to give God praise, honor, and still focus on their priorities, and it looks like God's not going to step in and do nothing. Now, that's when you know you're growing. That's when you can focus then on the idea that I'm holding on because I know God's going to come through. I know you don't see it just yet, but he's going to step right in. Sometimes you have to look back. Here we are at this last moment left in this new year, this year, and we're faced with the new year. Sometimes you have to stand there and say, you might have beat me up in 2021, but I got news for you coming into this new year. I'm going to properly prioritize and keep myself where I need to be, and that's in God's hands. The point is this. When we do that, we'll recognize that there will be plenty of money in its proper perspective. Great work and service can be rendered when you properly prioritize. See, you can serve when everything is going all right. It's hard to serve when you're catching hell. But if you prioritize and put God's first, I found out I'd rather serve and have to cry sometime. Shed some tears sometime. But you're not going to take me away from properly prioritizing. God is number one in my life. So the believer is to be a seeker. That will put everything in its perspective as you face the new year. Say to yourself, I'm a seeker. A seeker. And I'm not talking about seeking blessings. No, no, no. If you put God first, you'll get your blessings. It comes with the territory. All you got to do is stay focused. The third thing is the goal of seeking. Watch the text now. The text says, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First thing I want you to notice now regarding the goal or the priority is composed of two parts, and it's right there in the text. The very first one is God's kingdom. Then the second one is God's righteousness. And we need to deal with that. First, let's consider God's kingdom. Let's focus on that. Well, what is the kingdom of God? Glad you asked me. Based on the discussion, and that is regarding the disciples' prayer found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, dealing with the kingdom. Listen to what it says. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom does not refer to a geographical territory, but to a dominion or a rule Let me say that again so we can fully understand. When you properly prioritize, you are granting God dominion in your life. He takes rule of your life. In other words, he will guide your steps. And the only reason sometimes our steps are not being guided, they've been ordered but not guided, because we are fussing with God. You can't do that. Even when you don't agree with how God leads you, you got to be willing to go, because I found out wherever he leads, he'll take care of me. That's the blessing. So God's kingdom, God's sovereign rule, therefore, is to seek first his kingdom, first his rule, his will, and his authority. And that's attitudes you got to take. Stop walking around, if God allows us to cross over into the new year, stop walking around with the attitude, if God, ain't no if God. When you give God power over your life, your will sits down, his will stands up. And when you don't understand what God is doing, just speak in God's authority. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to go and deal with this. In the name of Jesus, 2022 is going to be a blessed year. In the name of Jesus. That's the attitude you got to take. So the word kingdom, as it is used here, is used by Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It's used here, and it refers here to God's government. It refers to God's rulership, his administration. And God impacts his influence in our lives. Do you not know, I look back over this year and realize when I've gotten out of line, when I've stepped out of his will? Because the moment you can see without a doubt God's influence is over your life and in you, you can make it. Stop trying to explain everything. You can't explain sometimes why God leads you certain directions. You can't explain that. Like right now, we can't explain all of what's happening around us. But as long as his authority, his dominion, his power has precedence, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. Well, let's bring this to a conclusion. Look back at the text. Notice now, we can conclude then that the kingdom of God on earth is God's rulership within the hearts and the spirits of believers. The kingdom of heaven is when that rulership impacts human earthly environment. See, I can tell you all day he's first place in my life, but when I can show it, that's when you get the message. That means I can't just talk it, I gotta walk it. If you're gonna make it through 2022, you got to have that attitude. Invite him in that he might take dominion over your life, rulership. I'd rather walk in the power of God and knowing God is in full control than to walk temporarily like I'm blessed when I know I'm not blessed. I hope I'm making sense to us. We got to understand that this is a matter of importance. Well, seeking God's kingdom is losing ourselves in obedience to the Lord. And we got a problem here, because some of us already don't want nobody to tell us nothing. And then we turn around, we got problems with the Lord telling us. If we can't put our finger on every situation, how to bring it to pass, God ain't asked you to do all that. Just walk in his will. I wake up sometime each morning. I don't know what the day going to bring, but I'm not going to sit and worry about what's in the day. My focus is on him in me, because I know who's in control of the day. So let me share something with you. First of all, we are transferred into the kingdom. Listen to Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed into us the kingdom of the Son of his love. I don't know about any of you all, but I've been delivered. That's the attitude you got to take. You got to understand, I've been brought now. I'm a part of the kingdom of God, and God watches over his children. He watches over us now. Then secondly, we are to serve God in it. Don't walk around and talk a good game. You got to carry it out. Listen to the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 28. He simply says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let me stop right there. We are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with what? Reverence and godly fear. Now, here's a part I want you to understand. If I've been transferred into the kingdom, then I must understand nothing's going to happen to the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom, and the kingdom can't be shaken. So don't even get bent out of shape. This year, new year, 2022, right on our heels, and you getting all bent out of shape. The purpose is you must understand if you properly prioritize and put first things first, God will take care of you. I promise you, I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. Well, he only does not only talk about the kingdom, he talks about righteousness. So the ultimate question now is, what is the righteousness of God? That word righteousness is actually from a discipleship concept of law. It's not religion. It implies right positioning. So now let's stop right there. First of all, the reason I can put first things first, I'm in the right position. See, here's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to think that because of the storms of life, because of the problems, because of sickness, because of heartaches, because of death, because of all of what's going on around us, that there's something wrong with us. If you've been properly positioned and the kingdom is in you, you can claim some stuff. You got to understand it. If you can claim it right, it's yours. So that word righteousness is powerful. It means to be in alignment with his authority. So if God says, I'm going to lead you in the valley of the shadow of death, then I must understand I'm just walking in the shadow. So I must align myself, boy, y'all better get this, with his authority. So that means I'm going where God leads me. So God knows already what's better for me. He's working on me. I ain't who I used to be, but I'm not who I'm supposed to be yet. I'm a work in progress. Okay? I'm a work in progress. So what's important is that I line myself up with his authority. Then I must be in right standing with that authority. In other words, I got to watch my mumbling back. I got to watch how I talk back to God and don't agree with God. What the scripture teaches, how can two walk together except they agree? So I'm trying to walk with God. God trying to walk with me. I got to agree with God because he got my best interests. My best interests. And he knows me best. He knows me when I'm at my worst. And yet wakes me up every morning, every chance he gets. Not only that, but it means to have correct fellowship with that authority. See, ain't no need of me walking with God and I'm mad with him. No, no, no. I got to be in communion with him. I may not always agree with him, but I got to obey him. And I got to do it in love. Why you think the hymn writer said, we'll understand it better. But I don't understand why do I have to walk through this storm? Why this problem? Why this situation? Oh, but when I come through, when he brings me through, it's worth putting God first. When people are right with God, that's the key I want you to understand. That's what we got to focus on in 2022, being right with God, not with folk, right with God. Because when you're right with God, you can align yourself up even with your worst enemy. That's all you got to do. Just line yourself. But it's hard to line up with your enemy and you out of line with God. When you line up with him, he'll give you exactly what you need to endure the worst of times. How do I know it? Scripture teaches. Let me take you right quick to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11 says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right what? Path. So in 2022, if you put first things first, he'll lead you in the right paths. But he is not going to lead nobody who is grumbling and complaining and always fussing and getting out of line. No, no, no. Line yourself up with the authority of God. If that's not enough, let me take you to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. So he'll move you and take you on right paths, and you end up doing right things. Boy, y'all better. That's enough to make you holler. You can't do right and be on the wrong path. You got to be on the right path to give birth to right things. That's how sometimes we get off track, because we don't have no joy, we don't have no enthusiasm. We have allowed the enemy in this pandemic to steal everything. But when you are truly lined up with God and you got everything you need from God, you don't need to worry about mess, stuff. We serve a God who got everything. If that's not enough, let me take you to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 5. He says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Their minds and hearts are filled with right thoughts. That means, stay with me, y'all, before I sit down. When you line yourself up with the will of God, if you get your mind off your circumstances and focus on him who is leading you, you can say things like, it's rough, but I'm being blessed. I'm going through a storm, but the sun gonna shine after a while. See, you don't have to talk the language of what you are experiencing, because in your mind, when your mind becomes renewed, it's easy to put first things first. Folk will look at you strange when you can shout and praise God, and then finally they find out you got the same problem they got. But you didn't have to speak it. All you got to do is say the things that God desires of you to say. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 16. Listen to what the word says. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speaks what? Right things. See, some of us speak defeat. I don't know what the new year gonna hold. The pandemic has done a whole lot of damage. That's true. That's a known fact. But what you gotta be careful of, you cannot let that be your testimony. Your testimony ought to be, been through hell and high water, but I need you to understand God's been good to me. Woke me up this morning, got health and strength, food on my table, shelter over my head, got my family, somebody died, but I'm still here. It just ain't my time yet. You got to speak. You got to speak those things. Then finally, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 8. The word says, the way of the guilty man is perverse, but as for the pure, his work is right. Let me tell y'all something. You can't go into this new year with that same lazy, lame attitude. Well, I would do this, but I'm waiting on the pandemic. No. You got to do what you can while you can. Because I don't believe God put breath in our bodies every morning just for us to walk throughout the day and complain. What God wants from us is service. So my work got to be right. See, if you serve him right, you will be blessed. And that's the attitude you got to take. Well, listen to me as we close this thing. Note now that we talk about priorities. The writer wants us to understand. We're talking about God first, others second, and self third. Well, now, I want to close and tell you, pay attention to that last statement in that verse, because that last statement is powerful, because what it tells you in essence is the result of our pursuit. When you properly prioritize, this is what happens. Listen to what he says. He says, all these things shall be added to you. Now, you got to back up to get the meaning. You see, we ain't got no business worrying about where am I going to get food from? How are my bills going to be paid? What door is God going to open? No. That's not what that text teaches. That text is teaching that if you put God first, everything else will fall in place. You see, sometimes you have to worship God and be broke. Don't you have a dime in your pocket? But as long as God got you, you rich. That's the point. That's the thing. Why? Because when you put him first, stuff will fall in place. In fact, you will have folk wondering, how in the world are you making it? Can I tell you? The answer is when you put first things first. How do I do this, preacher? Real simple. Recognize who you are in Christ. Recognize the fact that Jesus gave his life, his death, burial, and resurrection. He got up from the grave just so you could put first things first. Not complain, not grumble, not fall apart, not go in a corner somewhere and get depressed, all bent out of shape. No. He died so that you can live a victorious life. All you got to do is put first things first. Every now and then you have to stand on a storm and holler, but he got up out the grave and declared all power. He did that just so that I, his child, can be able to say, all these things shall be added. I'm rich, and rich as I want to be. I'm rich in joy, rich in peace, rich in determination, rich in pursuits. Why? Because I put him first. I pray. I pray. I pray you've been blessed. Some way, somehow, going into this new year, put him first. Stop complaining. Stop rendering excuses now. Show up. Pandemic at Walmart, in the street. What you got to learn to do is just put him first. This year, put him first now. God got no business looking for us. If you got him and he got you, you're in good shape. And that's your attitude. Don't give God no list of your problems. He already knew the problems before you encountered them. What you need to do is present yourself to him and allow him to take full control of your life. May God bless you. May God keep you. I want you to hold your head up in 2022. Walk with power. Walk in his anointing, because God is going to see you through. May God bless you. May God keep you. Hang in there. Everything is going to be all right. God got everything under control. God bless you, New Horizon. Those of you who have tuned in, we pray you've been blessed. Let us not lose sight that if we put first things first, everything else will fall in place. Amen. God bless you all.